Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. I want to thank Letizia for the box of tarts. Thank you so much. We got lucky tonight, and only Letizia and Nathan know what I'm talking about. Okay. For the very first time, Steve and Don Hess are sharing their story. The book is called The Mojave Incident. They've been private since 1991. I promised an extraordinary show tonight. And for Steve and Don to come forward for the first time here on Coast for the Coast audience takes a lot of courage. It's an extraordinary story. We're going to share more of that when we come back, and we are going to take your calls. More with Steve and Don Hess, Ron Felber, when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. And just listen, everybody. George is going to be back on Monday. It's all good. Brooks Agnew is going to be with him. Now, we are talking with Steve and Don Hess and Ron Felber. The book is The Mojave Incident. I tried to get as much of it in as I could. To get the book, just go to ronfelber.com. All the information is there, and you can finish it. We did our best tonight with 2 hours of description. There is so much more to the story. But for me, the Coast audience is so important, Steve and Don and Ron, that they have questions on their own. And I just want to get them in and participate in this. So let's take some calls. You guys ready?
Ready.
All right, let's do this. Let's go all the way up to Fairbanks, Alaska, and David. David, welcome to Coast AM. Say hi to Steve and Don Hess and Ron.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Yeah, I just had a kind of an odd question, but something I've been meaning to ask about individuals that believe that we have extraterrestrials that visit this this world of ours, or this, you know, even this country of ours, that there is so much suffering that goes on. You know, 1 in 5 children go to bed without proper food, and it goes on and on. And I was just, you know, my whole wondering is, if we have all this higher intelligence that's visiting this world, and they see all the suffering that goes on, why don't they do anything about it? And I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a great question. Who wants to handle that first, Steve or Don?
Well, I guess I'd like to comment on that. I mean, we don't know what their purpose is. We don't know that they're benevolent and here to necessarily help us or raise us up. I don't think that they're evil either, but I do think that they're scientific, and that's part of the reality of our world, and that would be something to study, not to interfere with.
Steve, do you have a comment on that?
I would say I definitely agree with Don. It's just, I don't know what their purpose is, again, and I think our purpose is just to share what happened to us, and beyond that, it's very difficult to speculate on anything else. We're by far experts in the area, but it's certainly unique. It's a great question. You know, I don't have answers about what happened to me, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. And you did make a couple of comments in the book I thought were very interesting, that they were here to work. You know, they were here to mine. Maybe they needed some fuel for this ship. Maybe they were doing a drive-by. Maybe they were already here. All of those are possibilities. The strange part is they apparently knew exactly where you guys were going to be, and they certainly knew a lot about you personally, which is strange and scary at the same time. So let's go to Alan on the wild card line in Memphis, Tennessee. Alan, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing good, Alan. Say hi to Steve and Don Hess.
You got a great show going tonight, brother. I'm really interested. Hey, I just it's along the same lines. That's what I thought about the mining, was that they might be looking for gold. I've always thought that these ships are run by gold instead of nuclear or anything like that. Another thing, I'm glad that Don's baby is good, because I had the same issue with my kid. She's 18 now, and she's a beauty queen. So Anyway, I'm rambling here, but about the graves, talk about them a little bit more. They were 3 feet high?
I would say a little bit 3 to 4 feet high. And again, yes, they definitely kind of seem to be that typical alien that we kind of see portrayed in the media.
What about uniforms or clothing?
Well, they seem to have some type of covering that would have been like almost a second skin. I would consider it some type of a fabric, but so tight and without seams and without, you know, embellishments, except for on their left side. There was like, I don't know what you call it. It's like an upside down top of an arrow.
Okay.
Some kind of a patch or something.
An insignia.
Threads, but
right.
They weren't naked.
Right, right. Alan, thank you for the phone call, and be safe out there.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Let's go to east of the Rockies, Kevin out in Illinois. Kevin, welcome to Coast to Coast AM. Say hi to Ron, Steve, and Don.
Good morning. Thank you, Jimmy, for having me on the show. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning.
I can understand what a traumatic experience you went through, because I went through an abduction experience, but it was different than yours. I knew ahead of time that I was going to be introduced to extraterrestrials, but the experience itself was something more than I could comprehend. And it's one thing to watch the Twilight Zone, it's another to live it.
Right.
And trying to convince other people that you did.
Well, Kevin, let me jump in, because I want you to ask Steve and Don a question. In that, only you know about what you went through on a personal level. Only you know the details. And only Steve and Don know the details. You know what I mean? And when you hear somebody speak about their experience, there's something that's there that only you can relate to. Not your friends, nobody else, but yourself. So if you had the opportunity right now to ask Steve and Don about their experience and what you went through, what would that question be?
That question would be, has this experience changed your view on religion or your religious aspects, and has it brought you closer to God? Because I will say this, mine did.
And that is an interesting question, isn't it, Steve and Don?
It is. Well, I don't know if change is the correct verbiage, because we knew God. We loved God. We knew God loved us before. Did we need some spiritual strengthening after this? Yes, we did. We needed something to strengthen our spirits. So, you know, we went back to church. That was different. So, yeah, it did change.
How about for you, Steve?
Well, I would say that along the same lines. I thought, you know, the experience itself had some aspect of malevolence to it. I felt that there was something. And towards the end of the experience, I know we didn't cover that in the book, and kind of the angelic figure that came at the end that really calmed us down really gave me that feeling that there was something bigger watching over us.
And your description of her being female, too, as well, I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Kevin, thank you for the phone call, and be safe out there.
Jimmy, if I could, just before, I called you before, Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
And I was a hospital corpsman on the USS San Bernardino.
Right.
And I told you a little bit of my experience. If there's any way, if you want to contact me, I could give some information to your person off the air, and you can get a hold of me later on.
Absolutely.
About my experience.
Sure. The easiest way to get a hold of me is at J Church Radio on Twitter, and then I'll hit you back, Kevin.
I don't know how to do emails. I'm computer illiterate. I don't own a computer. I've only had this, quote, smartphone since November, and I'm still trying to figure it out.
Right. Well,
the only thing I can do is use it to make phone calls with.
Sure, sure. Well, have one of your friends find me at J Church Radio, which is my website, And there's a contact form there, and you can do whatever you need to do. Trust me, everything is there. I'm very accessible, Kevin. All right?
Okay, Jimmy. I would like to talk to you about it because you seem very excited about my experience the first time I talked to you, and I didn't get a chance to tell you the whole thing. So,
and my favorite thing,
night, Jimmy, and thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you, Kevin. And as everybody knows, I want to hear from everybody, and I am very accessible, and I'm easy to find. So it's just the website is at J Church Radio. You can click on my email right here at Coast to Coast AM. I'm right there. And my website, just click on my name. You can find me. It's easy. And I want to hear about everybody's experiences. Let's go to Brian Wildcard right here, Bakersfield, California. Brian, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kind of had a similar experience that happened to us. See, my grandfather had a couple of gold mines about 17 miles northeast of Baker, California. And we were out there mining, and the government had ran us off out of there and said that there was an endangered species, and that was the end of it. We couldn't go in there. And then we sat back from afar, and we watched the ship come in and go through the mines and everything. And so what they were doing, they were mining gold for whatever their process they do, whatever they need. Electronics and whatnot, but they ran us out of there, and it was pretty weird to sit back from afar and watch this go on. So we saw a big craft come down, and beams came down, and they had see these rays come off the craft, and the guys go inside and come back out, and then they left.
Brian, when was this, by the way?
This was right around 90. We were just kids and my grandfather, and we watched all this go on, and it was just like nobody speak of this whatsoever.
Isn't that strange? You know, and Baker's not that far. You know, it's still it's local enough that's almost related. That kind of feels a little strange, doesn't it, Steve? What do you think about that, Don? 1990?
Right.
Mining expedition in Baker? Wow.
Yep. That's exact. And my grandfather also spoke of some kind of craft down inside of one of the mines. I really didn't get into detail because I was young, but they said that they had seen some kind of craft buried off in one of the mines that they never went in there. So that's kind of weird too.
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. Thank you for the phone call.
Yeah, I felt compelled. It's like, wait a minute, I've seen something weird like this going on, too.
Sometimes you just have to. Brian, thank you for the phone call. Keep rolling that rock uphill.
Okay, bye.
Let's go to Wildcard. Let's go to Anthony out in Oklahoma. Anthony, welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you. I was just calling because I have camped in the Mojave Preserve on three different occasions since 2006. And I also do stuff up in Death Valley, but the preserve, I will not go back and camp in again after what happened in the spring of 2012.
What happened?
Well, I didn't have any contact with anything, but what happened was I was actually at the Mid-Hills campground, the place where they were going to stay, and there were probably about five or six other campers there. And we all saw this. But what happened was in the direction of the Granite Mountains in the southern portion of the park, so we would have been looking to the southwest, there were about nine lights in the sky at one point. And when they were talking about the lights getting into those positions and those shapes, it wasn't as well defined, but at one point they were in a circle, one point they were in a line, one point they were going almost diagonal. I didn't sleep anymore that night, and neither did any of the other campers, I don't think, and I have not camped there since. I've been back, but I will not spend the night in that Mojave Preserve area again. It was just too freaky, and it went on for about 2 or 3 hours.
Steve and Don, that was actually a pretty interesting description, wasn't it?
Yes, it's a very accurate description. He was looking right in the same direction we were.
And Anthony, I won't spend the night out there either.
No, we have a bunch of fans that are listening to the show right now on Twitter, and they're all saying, you know what, let's go.
Right?
Let's go. Everybody's interested and intrigued and a little scared, as they should, you know, when you hear something like this, but they're all saying the same thing. We can band together. You know, we can go out there and, but yeah, Tabletop Mountain and Mitt. No, I'm pretty cool right here in Sherman Oaks, California. Anthony, thank you for the phone call, brother.
You're welcome.
You know, Jimmy, I just wanted to mention one thing, which is the second half of things, which is the hypnosis sessions that revealed so much in terms of the background to this, you know, when they were actually on the spaceship.
Right, and I've got notes right here about from people here on Twitter. They want to know about the mothership and description and what went on in the ship. And, you know, we can try to do that right after the break. Steve, let's do this really quick before we get to back to some more phone calls. What was the interior of the ship? What did it remind you of, and what did you smell?
Well, in the interior of the ship, I don't remember so much smells there, but it was more of a clean, almost operating room facility type situation, where stainless steel tables and everything seemed to be that way, with big lights overhead like you would see in a hospital surgery room type of thing, at least the part I remember. Some of these longer hallways that were real sterile, not too much in them.
Don, what do you remember?
I think the most vivid thing for me is that the floor was like glass, and there was lights under it. So, and the walls, and there was like the ceiling, it was rounded. So the wall went up and rounded over, and it was, so the whole corridor was lit, sort of, as in my recollection, it was kind of like a blue light.
And there was something, I want to go back and I want to get this in. I want everybody to understand this, that the description of the angelic presence that came down, looked like an angel, looked female, felt angelic, right? It had this presence for you guys,
yes.
But it calmed you guys down.
Yes.
Do you think that if somebody 2,000 years ago, right, would have seen the same thing, do you think they would have thought angel instead of E.T.?
I think so, yes.
I think so, too.
I think the big thing about that whole thing at the end of our experience, and it was towards the end before we kind of somehow just kind of passed out in the back of the truck. Some of those events, I know we skipped over a lot of things, but you know, it got almost to the point, like we said, this back and forth when all hell was breaking loose, and that's when it came down and everything seemed to calm down in order and kind of set the final tone that everything was going to be all right.
Well, and to be fair with everybody, I'm talking about the audience, the book is full of so much detail. And there is so much there. We would have to do 5 straight nights on Coast to Coast. Okay, that's what we would have to do. I just wanted to present your side of the story and your side of the detail that you can't get from the book, you know, and it's just an extraordinary story. This is Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, Ron Felber, author of The Mojave Incident, Steve and Don Hess, have come forward for the very first time and sharing their story with you here on Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More with everybody when we come back. Stay with us. You know, the bumper music tonight, check this out. This is what I did today when I selected everything, is I closed my eyes and I thought about what was on the radio when I was listening to the late night guy when I was a kid. And that's what I selected tonight. So if I took you down memory lane, I did my job. Tonight, Ron Felber, The Mojave Incident, Steve and Don Hess. I'll try to get to a little bit of a conclusion of their story when we come back after this break. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. George will be back on Monday, and we'll be back in just a second. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Steve and Don Hess, and Ron Felber, author of the Mojave incident. Stephen, Don, I just, any implants, anything like that going on?
Well, we can't say for sure, but we've always thought so.
Steve?
I would tend to agree. I just think certainly this is something that's changed our lives forever. And for some deep down intuition, I think they still keep track of us.
But you know, Jim, I'd like to point out that during the hypnosis sessions, Dawn was pawing at her neck for a long period of time, and Dr. Anixter questioned her about that. And she said very specifically that the way that they keep track and the way that they know her thoughts and communicate are through probes, and that there was a sort of silver wand that was put over them when they were in the craft, and that a probe was injected into her neck.
And there was also the little, I don't know how it's described in the book, a little a little light.
Spark
that went into or around your abdomen, right?
Right.
And at that time, you didn't know that you were pregnant?
Well, there was a spark that came into my abdomen in the desert. That is not when I got pregnant.
That's right. Yeah, I know that. That's not what I meant.
I just want to clarify that.
Yes. But the spark did. And when did you find out that you were pregnant?
Well, that was 2 years later.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you went and thought about, well, again, I don't want to put thoughts in your head, but when did you make the connection with the spark over your abdomen with your pregnancy?
Well, I don't know that the spark had anything to do with my pregnancy. There is some details about that pregnancy, but it's unrelated to that spark.
But I do remember this. Actually, and maybe it was probably during the hypnosis sessions, but when you felt you were being watched, Steve and Dawn, both of you felt you were being watched, I think.
Right.
And I think that that you had said to Steve, "I'm pregnant," and he said, "I know."
Right.
And I think you both felt that aliens were in the room with you.
We did.
During the act.
Well,
yes,
before, during, and after, I guess. Yeah.
Yes. And again, I know it's uncomfortable, but you know, it's the way that it's presented in the book, that these were the events as they went down, and they are creepy and they are uncomfortable and it is tough to talk about. But this is just the way that it happened. I want everybody to understand. And again, I have to thank you for even talking about this. I wouldn't do it.
Well, we haven't for a long time.
That's right.
Yeah, now you've shared with everybody. Yeah, when you do it, you don't play around. Let's go to Wildcard. Let's go to Lewis in Northern Kentucky. Lewis, welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing good, Lewis.
That's great. Let me take this off speakerphone. There's a couple of questions. As far as their feelings, I mean, just I know that it was, you know, it was a terrifying situation. You know, but do you think that the people or persons or the aliens were just exploring because they don't have feelings or they don't have emotions?
That's a really good point.
I would have to say that they did feel rather emotionless as they did their things to us go through. But I definitely think there was a big aspect of exploring going on, both with us and both with kind of the mining and the things that were happening outside that we were seeing. They tended to be.
Yes, I understand that point too. And of course, when the ship came over and they brought you up. And then kind of put you back down. And, I mean, that's exceptional because there's no technology that I know of that could do that.
Yeah, and Lewis, there was one other thing. I tried to drive this home to everybody. When I say the worker ship, the ship that was out doing stuff in the desert, they could tell, hear, and feel – like drilling. And that is very that's a very interesting description. They heard it, they felt it. And did you actually see it too, Steve, as well?
Well, I think what we saw was the fact that whatever they were doing, they're searching for, they seemed to be transferring it back up. And
yeah,
down.
There was minerals. You were watching stuff get extracted from the earth.
Correct.
Yeah, very interesting. Hey, Lewis, thank you for the phone call.
Well, there's a good possibility, but I mean, one thing I just want to point out, you know, if it was Air Force or something like that, they do it in a grid.
Well, yes, and there's another interesting part about this, Lewis, which is they thought it might be military exercises. There were some crazy things going on at that time, as we know.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
And they went out and talked to other witnesses. If it was military, if it was the Air Force, it's out there in the Mojave Desert, other people would have seen it. This was very large and very dramatic. There were no other witnesses, and it appears now, looking back, that they were there for Steve and Don. And that's
the weird part about
it. Yeah, it is very weird. Lewis, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
Let's go to Joseph, first-time caller line, right here in Sherman Oaks, California. Joseph, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'd like to ask your host, when they're going through the experience, have their ears like pop open and they heard other voices? Because I went through the experience. And also how this event changed their life. And thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for the phone call, Joseph. So did anything happen to your ears? Did they pop open and did you hear other voices when that happened?
No, I don't recall us ever. No.
Okay, and Joseph wanted to know how it has changed your lives. How has, you know, briefly, I mean, are you guys any different than before it happened?
That's a loaded question.
It is, isn't it?
Question. Well, we can't go back in time and see how different we would be. I mean, I think we live a very normal life, and we always have. We've had, you know, episodes of, you know, confusion, anxiety, but we get up every morning and go to work and raise our children and they're happy and healthy. So I don't know how we could define that it changed us.
I'd say as far as the change, maybe expanding our mind, how we think about us as humans and our place in this universe.
Oh, that's good
and
answer.
Obviously that we're not alone. And certainly this happened to us. And like I said, you know, all we're here to do is let people know this is what happened.
Now, for the audience, they I'm sure that they want to know. So you had it. You had the child, boy or girl?
Girl.
Girl, special.
I think she's very special. You know what? She's a bright, beautiful, intuitive woman now, but nothing out of the norm of a special human being.
And what do, and her especially, I mean, what do your children think about this experience? Do you guys talk about it, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, you guys are kicking back. What is talked about at the Hess table?
Well, you have to understand, Jimmy, that we had four other children after her. So we still have younger children. And so most conversations have been obviously with our adult children. All the children know now, but it's never brought up at Thanksgiving.
Now, I'm trying to do the math here. I feel like I'm taking SATs. How many children do you guys have?
We have seven children.
Seven. Seven. I'll say it again.
Yeah.
Seven.
Seven. Now, they range from 14 to 28.
And everybody knows. I'm surprised that they do know or that they don't, but everybody knows the story. Do they all have they all read the book?
No.
Is there a reason for that?
Well, all of the older children have read the book. But we've had conversations with the younger children.
Right.
And
it's an adult book.
Amount of information.
Right. No, it's definitely a book for adults. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
All right. Let's go to Wild Card. Let's try to get a couple more in before the end of the show here. Wild Card, George in Birmingham, Alabama. George, welcome to Coast AM.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't get to hear the part of the show when after they talked about the psychological torture. I was wondering if there was any physical torture involved.
Who wants to handle that?
I don't want to handle it.
Well, I would say physical torture almost relates to the mental anguish, the toll it took on herself, but I would say nothing that I could say that there was a physical maybe mark or something that was left, but besides that.
Well, things were revealed in our hypnosis procedures that were done to us, and I really don't want to go into that personally right now.
George, and I think you'll understand and respect the privacy.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, George. Let's go to Gene, east of the Rockies in Ohio. Gene, welcome to Coast AM.
Thank you so much. Greetings, Dawn, Steve, Ron, and Jimmy, our wonderful host. Thank you so much for your courage in sharing this. I had a somewhat different question. Since this has happened, I happen to be Native American, and many of my people have been having their DNA analyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens that there seem to be a commonality with many of them in different tribes, in so much as when the results come back, there are markers that are unidentifiable. They will not say they are alien, but they say they are definitely not human and they cannot identify them. And I wondered if you had any knowledge of this. I've also heard that I happen to be Rh and O negative, Rh negative and O negative. And I've also heard that the Rh factor has been considered, quote unquote, possibly an alien hybrid marker or so forth. And I just wondered if you'd heard anything about this. And I appreciate your courage, and I won't take any more of your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Gene. Who wants to take that?
Well, I'll take that. Wow, Gene, I think that's an incredibly interesting theory. I haven't heard about any markers that could be discovered through DNA. I would love to hear more about that.
Steve?
Well, I think it's interesting, you know, the Native American aspect of the part of it. I felt at least that area where we were at, that Native Americans inhabited it at some point in time.
It is such a special place, and this is the audience would probably appreciate this, where we are broadcasting from right now, here at Coast to Coast, where you guys had your experience. If depends on how we would drive, but it's probably 30 to 45 minutes away. You know, it's a very small community down here, the Mojave Desert, that part of Southern California. It's right at the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very special place, and it's easy to get to. And when you experience the sky, the mountains, the desert, it's a very, very special place. It's been special for generations of Native Americans here.
And Jimmy, that's where the Mojave Twins.
Yes, yes. So yeah, thank you, Ron.
Actually, one of the really unique things that happened after I had been interviewing Steve and Dawn, I came upon a book called Mystic Places, and it was a Time Life put it out. And it had pictures of various sites around the world. But one of the key ones was the Mojave Twins. And when I heard the descriptions that Steve and Dawn had given of the aliens and the petroglyphs and the ground drawing of the Mojave Twins, they were virtually identical. And I found that astounding.
I still do.
These were 500, 1,000 years old.
Yes, I still do. I still do. We have time for one more. Let's try to get, I'll see if one or two in. Let's go to Wild Card Mike in Ontario. Mike, welcome to Coast AM.
Ah, how are you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing good,
Charles
Mike.
Wells, and I'd like to shout out to all my friends on Twitter at DM Talk.
DM Talk? You've got the wrong show, Mike. Oh.
We follow your show there too.
Okay.
I had a similar experience, and I was wondering about the light beam that they saw that they thought was transporting possible entities down. What color was it, and what shape was that light beam?
Oh, that's a good question, Mike. Thank you so much, and be safe out there. What color was the light beam? Do you remember?
Yes, it was very vivid, almost like daylight in any area that it had shined. And the fact that it was very thin but very specific over the width, and it is that triangle shape. So it was very narrow at the top where it came from its source as it filtered out and spread out to the ground level. But, you know, it wasn't light like you'd see from a flashlight, or you'd see something more from a laser, very finely directed and defined. But anything that was underneath it was illuminated just like daytime.
What is next for you two? I know that you're going to be, you know, speaking just a little bit next week with me again, and you're going to do some other stuff on Monday. But for in the real future, what are you guys going to do? Are you going to continue to speak out about this, or are you just going to enjoy your lives and stay private?
I don't know what we're going to do.
It's a great question. It's something that we pondered, and I think, you know, even to get to this point where we're at today is a huge step, you know, and we're coming on this program not trying to do it for any other motivation except for to share our truth, and that's kind of where it's at this point in time. You know, we've only shared it with a very select handful of people. Those are in our lives that know us, know what we live, know what we stand about, and those that we can trust. But I think for us, this is a very big step, and it might be one of many that we may take. But right now, I think we're happy to take this first adventure with you, Jimmy.
Yeah, thank you so much. And have you had any contact sense? I mean, direct contact.
I think when you say direct contact, something related to our experience, to the intensity of which that was, nothing that's matched that. But certainly there's a lot of things that happen in our life that are beyond coincidence, I would say, at this point.
Thank you so much, Ron, Steve, Don. Thank you so much for everything that you do. The book is The Mojave Incident. The website is ronfelber.com. Steve and Don Hess, thank you so much for sharing everything. Thank you, Ron. All the best and be safe. This has been Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Got to thank Nathan. Got to thank G. Got to thank George. Got to thank Lisa, Tom, Stephanie, and everybody at Premier. Thank you so much. Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Everybody be safe. Go Backley Tappy.